Hello, welcome to the Your Ability podcast from the Disability Stack Network. This is a little experimental, and we're going to see if we like the format, and if we do, we're going to do more of these. I've got a few people in the room, so I'm going to get people to introduce themselves briefly after. We are very interested in other people helping out with podcasts. If you want to know about particular topics that you want us to talk about, if you have any ideas, please just come and talk to us. You'll find us on the intranet in the Disability Staff Network intranet page, and you can reach out to us like that, or you can email us direct or on Teams. So I'm just going to introduce people who are here today, and then I'll introduce the topic. So, Ben, do you want to say hello quickly?
Hi, yeah, I'm Ben. I'm one of the mental health nurses. I work in the liaison diversion team. And I think I've been attending maybe for a couple of months now, last two or three meetings, I think. So still quite new to me.
Will?
Hi, yes, I'm Will Calling. I am the new Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Partner at the Trust. And I'm also a member of the LGBT Plus and the Disabled Staff Networks.
Kate?
Hi, I'm Kate. I work as a mental health nurse in Positive Steps, part of Dudley CAMHS. They're working with young people. I'm also part of the LGBTQ plus network, so kind of bridging those gaps. And I'm quite new to the network, so it's great to get involved in this sort of stuff straight away.
And I'm Chris. I'm the chair of the Disability Staff Network. So what we thought we would talk about today is disclosure and disability. So disclosure effectively meaning that you are telling somebody about your disability and or telling an employer officially that you have a disability. So what we did was, because it's a fairly commonly used term, I've known it for years and really haven't thought about it in any great depth, to be fair. But when we started talking about this, we found that disclosure, the definition of disclosure, is the act or process of revealing or uncovering. Kate, you found another definition about things that are secret. So it's not a particularly great term. So we had an impromptu conversation about this a couple of weeks ago, and we thought it'd be really good just to do this as our first podcast. So I think what I'd like to ask everybody is what do you think about the term disclosure? What are your thoughts on it? Do you see it as something negative? Do you see it as indifferent, positive? What are people thinking?
So for me, as somebody who obviously works in the qualities, this is kind of like the building blocks of my work. And I am quite hot on how disclosure is good. Back when I was married, you'd often have my wife filling out forms, the demographic forms, and not wanting to fill them out. I was like, no, you need to fill them out. Some poor qualities bureaucrat needs that information so they can see what's going on. It is really important, because the way it works is, as anybody who's ever had any issues with discrimination or bullying or maybe feels like they haven't had the breaks that other people have, it's very difficult to prove an individual example, whereas you can prove a lot more in the aggregate. Like if we get enough people who have declared and we look at that data closely enough, you can start to see trends, even if you can't pick down a particular example. But that only works if everybody declares. So like, no, say we have the gender pay gap. The gender pay gap information is quite robust because we have everybody's gender. No, just the analysis we do on ethnicity is quite robust because we have most people's ethnicity. When you come to disabled status and you come to sexual orientation or gender identity, that data starts to fall down, A, because they typically smaller groups, but also because we just don't have the disclosure rates. And it makes it so much harder to say, no, look, here's the evidence. Here's where there's a problem. We need to fix this problem. I know that's quite, I'll give a more personal answer in a second, but to be honest, when I hear disclosure, my work brain kicks in immediately.
I think the question for me is not necessarily about disclosure, because I think we all understand and or accept the merit of disclosing. Well, maybe we don't, but that's something we can probably do in another podcast. But I think for me, it's if there are any negative connotations or if there's anything around the actual word. So, Kate, I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I guess thinking about disclosure in this context, it the word itself doesn't feel like it suggests inclusion from the outset. I think when you were talking about it being an act, there's something quite active about that experience, and it kind of led me on to thinking about what the purpose of it is. But also linguistically, in my work, the word disclosure is often used thinking about things like sexual abuse or kind of violence or safeguarding issues. So I know kind of words change meaning across different environments, but I guess working in mental health, that's where it's come up for me. But also thinking about therapeutic disclosure, which I know has lots of clinicians and researchers have mixed feelings about that as well, but it's a huge part of my job working with young people who are often autistic or have ADHD. For me, disclosure makes me think about how I can share that with them in a positive way. But the other side of disclosure is thinking about disclosure to management, and I completely understand the fears and the stigma that come from that. But it's really great, Will, to hear a bit about the kind of statistics and the research side of it, because that's the kind of thing that's missing so much from these conversations. Why do people want to know things? Because we think a lot about the accommodations and kind of the support that we can get from disclosing. But actually on that kind of more information gathering point of view, it's brilliant to know that in the longer term and in the bigger picture, that's going to be impacting the kind of support that's offered as well, rather than it just being on that personal level of being able to access accommodations and understanding.
So what do we think might be a good alternative to the actual word disclosure? Because like I said, we agree in principle that we want people to talk and let the organisation know, potentially others know, around that protected characteristic that you have and hold. There's absolutely a fear factor, I would argue, within that. So people don't always necessarily feel comfortable to talk about that because they feel they may be discriminated against, they may be treated in a different way. For me, there's two aspects. Number one is what is the alternative? And number two, if we do say we're going to disclose, and there isn't necessarily the understanding, what does that mean?
So, that, I mean, there is an alternative when it comes to LGBTQ, and particularly when it comes to sexual orientation, which has come out. Yeah. And that began, I don't know if people know this, that's a pun on debutante balls. So the aristocracy would have coming out parties when girls would turn into women when they'd turn 18. And they were called coming out balls. You'd be coming out as a debutante in society. And that was used, that was this very classy, glamorous thing. That was used as a way of making it more desirable for, at this point, primarily gay people, but later bisexuals, trans people, to come out and be open about their true self. And like, this was a huge part of like early LGBTQ plus activism, was to encourage people to be open. And you have the famous campaigns of Harvey Milk against various homophobic constitutional amendments in California, where the way they won was by convincing gay people to actually come out and be open, because then people would realize, oh, no, wait a minute, it's not an abstract, scary thing. It's going to be my brother, my sister, my neighbor, my friend, my parent who will lose their job. And so, yeah, so, you know, in terms of alternatives, the one that's actually in use, one of the protected characteristics, one of the minority groups, is coming out.
So I've heard things like share. I've heard other sort of words like that being used. What are people's thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think share is the one that kind of makes the most sense, in that it's a word that we all kind of understand, but it almost feels like it doesn't have that sense of power to it. I really like the sort of coming out as autistic or coming out as an ADHDer in the same way as coming out as queer. That's something that does appeal, but I wonder whether for some people those connotations might put them off, depending on how they feel about the LGBTQ community as well. But I think that's a really nice way to be thinking about our intersectionality as well. Something about calling in feels quite helpful, I guess, thinking it doesn't link directly, but I like the idea of calling in rather than calling out, and whether there's something about kind of inviting, or rather than it being something that we actively have to do and put out there about ourselves, whether it's something about inviting people into this part of ourselves. I don't know the exact word, but that kind of idea and feeling floating around in my head, so maybe someone might be able to find a word that fits that that very general feeling that I've described. Or different things for different purposes. It depends what the purposes of that disclosure is. Is it that we're asking for accommodations? Is it that we're trying to kind of role model being in this sort of world and being neurodivergent or disabled or LGBTQ? Or is it that we're trying to build a therapeutic bond with a service user or a family or a young person by kind of bringing in a shared experience? So yeah, it's all kind of different.
And the thing as well is these terms, I don't want to say they can be contentious, but like they are imprecise. So I've had this from a personal experience. I've had it in other places I've worked. When it comes to kind of people sharing their disabled status, one of the issues is the questions can be quite blunt, and they can be built around, are you disabled? And the curiosity is actually the legal definition of disabled is quite a bit broader than like the colloquial definition that we use in everyday language. So you have people who absolutely meet the legal definition of disability, which is, you know, physical or mental condition or issue that stops you doing everyday tasks or make it harder for you to do everyday tasks. They meet that definition, but in their mind, I've got a bad back, or my eyesight is going, or I'm dyslexic, and they don't recognize that disabled phrase as one they'd apply to themselves, which then makes it much harder for them to share, disclose, if the question is, are you disabled? Because they can quite honestly answer that, no, I do not consider myself disabled. And therefore, they don't get the support, they don't get the visibility that other people in their situation might.
I absolutely agree with that. And I think that comes back down to the fact that you will only do these things if there is something in it for you. Because if you don't have any kind of tangible gain out of it, or if you can't see that what Will described earlier, which is, you know, the advantage to the organization and ultimately you as a disabled member of staff or somebody who's, black LGBTQ plus. So if I don't see a tangible advantage to me, why would I do this? What would be the advantage to me? So I think what we'll do for today is I think we'll leave the podcast as fairly short and precise, I think. I think it's been a really good discussion, and I'm hoping that people who listen to this have got something out of it and just food for thought. If you find this interesting, if you want to listen to more of us, please let us know. If you have any feedback about the podcast, please let us know. But I'm hoping that we'll do some more of these, and I'm hoping that we'll see you all soon. Thanks for listening.